way through Romans chapter 1 this month. This is part 3. And we're going to look at the good news. The good news is the translation of the word gospel. That's our application this time. What is the good news? And you might say, well, I've heard this before, but let's see what Paul has to say about it, or rather the Holy Spirit as he uses Paul to write the book of Romans. So let's look at verse 16 and 17. That should cover what we need for today. So Romans 1:16 goes, "For I am not ashamed." Ooh, that's good news. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Now, in that little passage, and we're going to touch on this, we have gospel, we have salvation, and we have belief. Now, those of us that have been in church for a few years and are believers have trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation and have a concept of what these mean, but the people around you may not. So I want to touch on the core meaning of some of these words that I call church words that may or may not resonate or make sense to the people that you're talking to. "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For 17, for in it, the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, beginning with faith and ending with faith," is what that means. "As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." That's Habakkuk 2:4 again. That has come up a couple times. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." All right, so we've got some faith issues, some good news issues, and a little bit about the wrath of God. So how does this all come together? So faith is in the gospel, in the good news, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So what is this good news? What's that mean? What's good news? Good news of what? Well, in the simplest sense for me, it's that the Messiah has come, that Christ has come. Yes, it was 2,000 years ago, but he's eternally existent, past, present, and future, but he came in a physical form, as we know, in human form, perfectly God and perfectly man, both at the same time, 2,000 years ago. And he taught for 3 years, and he was persecuted and executed voluntarily. His crucifixion, he planned it. He conducted himself in such a way that it happened at just the right time over Passover. Then he died. One of the world's expert executioners was right there to make sure, stabbed him in the side and punctured his heart. The Romans were really good at making sure people were dead. And then 3 days later, he's physically alive again with those scars that everyone could see. So gospel means good news, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. We commemorate that in baptism, by the way. So what is salvation? So somebody might come to your door and say, knock, knock, knock. I've been in churches where I was encouraged to go do this, which is always a bit challenging and also a bit awkward. But you knock on a door, somebody gets interrupted in the middle of their football game or whatever, and they come to the door and they're irritated, and you say, "I'm from so such and such church. Are you saved?" And they get angry, they get irritated because you've interrupted them. But plus, they don't understand. They don't understand what you're saying. What does it mean to be saved? To me, being saved means that I am made, or you are made, acceptable to God. So think of this, and this is a picture of the judgment, which Hebrews 9:27 says we will all face the judgment. And when we appear at the gates of heaven, or when you appear at the gates of heaven, will Christ let you in? Some people may say yes, in which case you want to say, that's great. How do you know that? Or some people may say, nope, he won't let me in because I did this and that and the other thing, and plus I don't like you guys, okay? There's no love in my heart for what you're talking about, okay? Yeah. Or some may say, I don't know. Some may say, I don't know. And the question then is, if that person says yes, the question then is, why? will he let you in? And the answer to that is not anything that you have done. We've touched on this in a previous session. It's not anything that you have done. It has all to do with what he has done for you. And because salvation is being made acceptable, his goodness, his righteousness is given to you at the time of salvation. Imputed is the word, counted on your record. You become righteous as he is, and therefore acceptable. So salvation really means, in its basic meaning, deliverance or rescue from the penalty of sin. And so there's another Bible word. What does that mean? What is sin? What's that talking about? And that sin is, there's a number of words in the scripture that are translated as sin, but it means basically missing the mark, in the easiest one to understand. So if you're aiming for a target, you may not hit the bullseye 100% of the time. You may miss it. If you try your very best, you may make it 99% of the time, but you're not going to hit the bullseye 100% of the time. Or if in your heart of hearts you say, I'm not going to play this game, I'm going to aim somewhere else, you miss it every time. So you have those missings of the target, those sins, if you will, of omission. I tried my best, but I couldn't get there. Or commission, things that you've done that you know are wrong. That's what sin is all about. So then the last one that I want to touch on in this session is about believes. What does it mean to believe? And we've seen an example of this. If I say there's a chair over there and I believe it will hold my weight, I believe I can sit on it. I haven't believed it until I get up and I go over and I rest myself. I give myself to that chair. That chair, it may fall and I may break my neck. Some of you may hope that that happens soon. I don't know. But I haven't believed it unless I've acted on that. And so I like to translate believe loosely into knowing that it's true. Is it enough to say I believe something, or is it stronger in English in our culture to say I know it to be true? And that one, I think, helps people understand what belief is about. I know this to be true because God's word says it. It's true in my experience. It's true in my heart. It's true in who I am and what I do for you. So let's move forward and look at Romans. We'll get to Romans 5 in a future month, but let's pick a verse out of Romans 5, 18 and 19. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, because what Adam did by eating the forbidden fruit changed his nature, and we've inherited that nature, led to condemnation for all mankind, men and women. So one act of righteousness, Christ's death on the cross, leads to justification and life for all men, or for the potential for all men. And 19, for as by one man's disobedience, the many, not all, but the many were made sinners. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, all were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many, that subset of all, the many will be made righteous. And so that righteousness, that nature that's in God, is given to you as well. So when you find yourself at the gate of heaven, will he welcome you? Yes, if you are found righteous or good. Those words are very similar. They come from the same root. You're found righteous or you're found good because he has given you his righteousness. He has given you his goodness, his righteousness. So the way to summarize that is our relationship with Christ is based on faith alone, in Christ alone. God demonstrated his love for you in that while you were yet a sinner, he died for you. So, Father, how grateful we are that while we were yet sinners, we can't earn it, we can't work hard enough for it, you died for us. And the proof of your sacrifice is in your resurrection. We trust in that, Father, by faith, in Jesus' name.